Merry Christmas. I welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday. Fusion Sundays are designed for all generations, and this Sunday is designed for all attire. So if you are brave enough to wear your pajamas, excellent. Indeed, the cries of babies and the wiggles of children absolutely enhance our worship. So let us begin our worship together. Casual today. Let's clap. Today is the first Sunday of the Christmas season, and I think we would all agree that no matter how wonderful Christmas Day was, the days leading up to Christmas Day are sometimes physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausting. This year, the tragic events in Connecticut, as well as those in our own community, made that particularly true. So today, on this first Sunday of Christmas, I invite you to relax, to reflect, and to rest in God's presence in the world. The story of Jesus' birth reminds us that God is present in the tangible, in the ordinary, in the beautiful, in the messy, and in the tragic, calling us to a place of divine comfort. Indeed, we are surrounded by the holy. Now, I ask you to take a minute, look at the cover of your bulletin. You have different ones, as they are bulletins used on past Christmas Eve. What does the picture on your bulletin tell you about the birth of Jesus? Anything new? Now, I want you to find someone that has a different bulletin cover than you have. Wish him or her a Merry Christmas and share what your bulletin cover caps, what the attention is that your bulletin cover captured. Now, if you need to get up and move around, that works too. Let us continue. Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. Light the candles. Sing the carols. Embrace your neighbor. Believe in the mystery. The love we long for is here. Stables and stars, you are the hope that leads us forward. Good. You are the love that cradles our heart. You are the peace that quiets our fears. You are the joy that sounds through our voices. You are the face that shines through the Bethlehem baby. Amen. Now let us come to God in confession. Gracious God, you revealed yourself in an ordinary circumstance, a birth. If we had been there, would we have recognized you, or would we have been put off by the parents' shabby clothing, the crude surroundings, the smell of the animals, and the crying of the baby? Acknowledge our attention to all that seems spectacular or sensational. We confess our inability to see you in places or people that seem unlikely or unlikable. Amen. God came among us in a baby in Bethlehem to awaken hope in us and to assure us of a love that is everlasting. Let us receive the good news of this grace. Amen. Merry Christmas. Let's get up and see what's in the manger. What can we say this Sunday? Jesus is born. Yes. Did you have a good Christmas? Good, good. Did you eat lots of good things? Did you have lots of family around? Yeah, me too. You know, we've talked a lot about straw through Advent, haven't we? Straw is a tradition that many European countries use at Christmas time. It reminds people of the straw that baby Jesus laid on. You know, in one country, they sprinkle straw all over the dinner table on Christmas dinner. Boy, that'd be messy, don't you think? Yeah, me too. Well, in another, they hang straw ornaments. Did everybody here get a straw ornament on Christmas Eve? Good. Yeah, because I've got some actually. Oh. All to remind us of the manger, of Jesus being, of Jesus' birth. You know, I would like to give each of you a piece of straw for the manger, because in Poland, that's a custom, too. The children and, well, the adults, too, take out straw from the nativity scene at church, and they take it home, and they keep it all year to remember all the goodness of Jesus, and that God sent Jesus into our world. So here. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus. Help us to live like Jesus taught us to live. Amen. Now, later on, when I'm going to tell a story, if you want to come up here and sit, if you can see better up here, feel free just to get up and come up.
Comes from Psalm 148. Praise our God. Praise God from the heavens. Sing praise from every mountain. Praise our God. Sing praises, all you creatures of the seas. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy winds, praise our God. Hills and mountains and every sky-reaching tree, praise our God. Every creature on the earth, praise our God. Every creature of the sky, praise our God. Sing praises, all people of the earth. Let young and old together praise our God. Let all creation sing praises, for God's glory is among us. Praise our God.
The second reading this morning is from Luke 2. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went on a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Well, he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And then he went down and with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." You know, as a parent, I can really identify with this piece of scripture. You can hear in Mary's voice the emotional battle between anxiety, relief, and anger. I don't know about you, but I've lived through a few of those moments when I didn't know whether to scream at my kid or hug them to pieces. I'm thinking that's probably how Mary felt. We don't know much about Jesus' childhood, but from this short story, we do know that early in life, Jesus was mesmerized by the teachings of his religious teachers. And we know that Jesus occasionally got frustrated with his parents. Indeed, God sent us his son, a baby in a humble manger who was both totally human and totally divine. In this reading, today's lectionary reading, we find a young boy, 12 years old, exploring his spirituality within the framework of his family faith traditions. The story I'm about to read to you this morning is also about a young person exploring her spirituality within her family's tradition. It's called Marta and the Manger Straw. It's a Polish story and reflects Polish Christmas traditions surrounding, yes, straw. For indeed, straw represents the manger. It's the straw that Jesus laid upon. And like 12-year-old Jesus, like you and like I, Marta seeks to find God in the midst of the events of her life. It's through such explorations that we all grow spiritually. Indeed, Luke's last line in the biblical story today is, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor." May we do as well as in our search for spiritual truths. Marta and the Manger Straw. The date and the setting of this story is World War II in Poland. So just relax. For some of you, maybe it's been a long time since you've been read to. Relax and enjoy while I read. In a poor village in Poland, Marta and her mother were leaving church after the early morning Christmas celebration. Pastor Walter told Marta, "Take a piece of straw from the manger, keep it with you, and you will have riches all year long. And remember, Marta, there are different kinds of riches." "Thank you, Pastor Walter," Marta said. "Merry Christmas." Marta pulled out a long stem of straw and slid it in the hem of her cape. The next day, Marta walked to her grandmother's house. Knock, 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 knock. A raspy voice yelled from inside, "Come in." "Babucha, you're sick," Marta said, very distressed. "Yes, child," her grandmother answered. And I can't afford any more tea to soothe my throat. But worse yet, I did not get to go to church for my piece of straw." Marta quickly pulled out her straw and gave a bit to her grandmother. "Bless you, child." On the way home from her grandmother's, Marta heard sobbing as she passed the Plandeskis' farm. "Why are you crying?" Marta asked her friend Paula, whose family owned the farm. "Our cow ran off, and now we have no milk or butter for our family." "Oh," said Marta, snapping a second bit from her straw. She folded Pella's hand around it. "Here, take this. It will bring you riches." The next day, Marta gathered wood for the stove in her home. The wood stove kept Marta and her mother warm. It was also the only way her mother had to cook meals. But as she gathered the wood, old Ms. Woska humbled by, clutching her shawl. She asked, "Dear girl, dear, dear girl, can you spare a log?" Marta knew that her mother was almost out of wood. She also knew that once the wood was gone in her home, it would be cold, and her mother would be unable to cook meals. But when she saw old Ms. Woska shiver, she felt chilled herself. "Here, take this." She gave Mrs. Woska a fat log, and she wondered if her mother would be mad at her. Marta continued, "Mrs. Woska, wait. I have something else for you." And
Marta turned up her hem and slid out the straw. Snap! Now Mrs. Whisker had some straw too. Marta slipped the now very short piece of straw back into her hem. Marta returned home to complete her other household jobs. And when she shook out the rug, she heard a small whine. Marta looked around, and she spotted two brown eyes in a mass of matted fur, the color of harvested straw. The dog looked so hungry. "Oh, where did you come from?" Marta asked. Sad-looking dog slowly wagged his scuffy tail, and Marta sighed. "You look so hungry, and I don't have a bite of food to spare. My mother hasn't been to the market yet, and we have so little money." There was only one thing left to do. With a silent prayer, Marta pulled the remaining bit of straw from her hem and slipped it through a snarl in the dog's ragged coat. Well, just then, Mr. Oreski's fish wagon rattled by, bouncing hard on the rutted road. Marta waved as she hurried back into her house. After supper, Marta and her mother put their last log into the stove and snuggled down to sleep. As they slept, a spark jumped through the crack in the grate. The house was on fire. Marta and her mother escaped just in time. They clung to each other outside as flames gobbled up their home and everything in it. "It's my fault," Marta sobbed. "I gave away all my manger straw, and now we are worse than poor." "No," her mother shook her head. "Your faith in God has made you into a loving, giving girl, Marta. And remember what Pastor Walter said. You can be rich, even if you don't have money or things." She wiped away Marta's tears as they made their way to Marta's grandmother's house. Marta's grandmother comforted them. Well, then Marta realized that her grandmother was feeling better. Grandmother smiled and said, "I'm feeling good. And look at all this food my neighbors brought me. I was getting ready to celebrate with you. And did you notice the wood stacked outside? A neighbor's tree toppled in last month's storm. And guess what? He just dropped that pile off. Why, there's enough for a long time. You and your mother can live here while your house is rebuilt. There's enough food and wood to last us all year long." Marta and her mother marveled at the table full of food. Well, the news about Marta and her mother's house spread quickly through the village. Pella and Pella's brother came by, each carrying a jug of milk. Pella excitedly exclaimed, "Guess what, Marta? We found our cow. She was mooing, and she wanted to be milked. Papa wanted us to bring you these jugs of milk. He's fixing the fence so the cow cannot escape again." Later, Mrs. Wiska hobbled up with two beautiful shawls for Marta and her mother. "My hands were so warmed by the firewood you shared," she told Marta, "that I could pick up my knitting needles and knit again." And
She handed the shawls to Martha and her mother.
That evening, Martha watched the crackling fire glow in her grandmother's hearth. She heard a scratching sound.
"What's that?" Martha asked.
"It's coming from the door," her grandmother replied.
And Martha jumped up to go to the door.
She bravely opened it and peered into the darkness. Woof!
Martha looked down. There on the stoop was the straw-colored dog with a plump silver fish in his mouth. He wildly wagged his scruffy tail, and Martha invited him inside in order to feed him. She smiled as the dog slurped milk from a bowl and gobbled the morsels of buttered biscuits that Martha shared with him. Later, Martha brushed the tangles from the dog's unruly fur.
"You need a name," she said.
"How about..." Anybody guess what the name is?
Straw. That's exactly right.
"How about Straw?"
"Woof!"
the dog agreed. And when Martha knelt to say her prayers, Straw sat beside her with his chin on her bed. "Pastor Walter was right," she whispered. "There are many different kinds of riches. Thank you, God, for taking care of us.
Woof! Straw agreed again. And then he curled into a fluffy circle at her feet, and they slept snugly and richly through the night.
And Martha learned the loving power of God's gift of Christ. For when we live as Christ taught us, the world becomes a more joyful, peaceful, hopeful, and loving place. For indeed, in Bethlehem, a babe was born with love enough for all. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern. And your Christmas greeting. Don't be shy. Okay, let us pray. Giving God, in this Christmas season, we peek inside your stable. Reimagine Mary lovingly holding her baby. And we wonder how we can hold lovingly the people in our lives. We envision Joseph steadfastly standing by his family. And we wonder how we can stand steadfastly for what we believe. We visualize shepherds joyfully running to welcome a new baby. And we wonder how we can be joyful sharing your promises. Oh God, you entered our world and we long to be the people you came to teach us to be. Fill us with the conviction that we belong to you, and as your children, new beginnings are possible. Grant us determination to be loving, steadfast, and joyful in that conviction. We pray this morning for the families of the firefighters who lost their lives in the violent tragedy in Webster. We give you thanks for all first emergency workers who put their lives in danger to save our lives. We want to change the gun culture in our country, although we confess the complexity of this issue sometimes paralyzes us. Guide us to the first step. Grant us wisdom to know that changes are needed in both our mental health systems and our commercial gun trade. Help us, O God, to value life, all life. And we ask that you hear us now as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Generous God, in this time of tinsel and trimmings, we pause and remember that yours was the first Christmas gift of all. With grateful hearts, we offer these gifts to you. Wrap them in the radiance of your grace, that they might spread love and healing in our world. Amen.
May we, like the angels, sing out for joy. Amen.